that here, for once, the end of the play is really the true reason for its being. And if we think of the last romances, The Tempest is the only one, as others have said before me, that can be read on different levels. And it is this triangulation which comes. There is another, there's a very good paper by Elashar, and which compares King Lear and The Tempest. And I think she is right. Prospero succeeds where Lear has failed. Lear was totally unable to accept Cordelia's marriage. He did everything to spoil it and to ruin it. And if it happened, it was really out of his influence. And Prospero seems, in the work of Shakespeare, a kind of reconciliation in comparison to the tragedy of King Lear. Both are dealing with paternity and the relationship of the father to the daughter. Yes.
Then on Miranda.
Just one more remark. I'm not sure what I'm saying, because maybe someone could question my knowledge about it. But I think that the evolution of the sublimatory of work about wood ends with the chess play. You know, there's an expression for people who play chess in French. I don't know if it's valid. When we have a very bad player who makes a lot of exchanges and sacrifices because he doesn't know how to build up a strategy, the French expression is casser du bois, to break wood. This is not a way to play. This is casser du bois. But I have interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Then the other thing, in terms of your interpretation of Miranda, I think something that would go along with what you're saying is that there's a sense in which Miranda is a pure phantasm in the play. And one reason for this is that she goes through puberty in the absence of eligible partners.
Yes.
She really discovers sexuality only after.
That's why Prospero has to get rid of her, because he will fall into that trap himself.
And then the third very brief point, that it's very interesting that Caliban becomes a focus of attention in very adversarial or oppositional reading, whether gay or post-colonial. Which is again a very interesting.
Yes. Anyhow, I think that most of the readers consider that Caliban is the strongest character in the play. He's really the most enigmatic, the more rich, the more complex, which lends itself to many interpretations.
I was wondering if you had, in fact, left out some discussion of Sigurd as the mother. It's interesting that the passage quoted
Yes. She was the master of the island.
He also said something like, and you tried to love me, you prospered, tried to love me, and you made a mess of it. In other words, you did. And I thought it was very interesting in your discussion, his role as mother and father both.
Yes.
Caliban could be considered as his failed mother and father's mother. And I wonder what all out, maybe the Shakespeare too. There are certain outcomes to this. One outcome, of course, is not only Sycorax, but the sexual ambiguity of Caliban, which is interpreted to Pillow as well as in Miranda, and that's a very high price to pay. And I hear you saying, in a sort of severe way, yes, that's the high price Shakespeare says we pay. But I also hear you saying, but Caliban is where it's going to go wrong.
Yes.
And I wonder how you could develop that a little bit further in relation to the Caliban Sycorax and ownership of the island question.
I'm not sure I can answer your question. What I can say is that what I have tried to show, that there is a part of Sycorax in all characters, except in Miranda, because as somebody said, maybe she's more of a pure fantasy than a real human character. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. She doesn't see that they are the same as she is. As she is like them. What I can say is that fits with Freud's idea. In the end, when he speaks of Dreyse, he comes to a final statement in one sentence. And he says, they are the cause, they are the ultimate cause of all our actions, and they are of a conservative nature. This sentence, you can reflect on it for some time. What it means is that it can't be eliminated. It is an illusion to think that you can master it or make it disappear. You can only cope with it the best you can, and you can also you can transform it through the possibilities which are given to you. To what extent the Sycorax mother is linked to Caliban, I believe it is. I believe, of course, and this is something which has been developed after Freud more than he did himself, what we call the primitive mother or the primitive relationship with the subject and the primal mother. It has to do. It has to do, but it is interesting to oppose Caliban as son of Sycorax. Setebos is mentioned, but that's all. Sycorax is present, and you had made the right quotation. It is really Sycorax against Prospero. And if Prospero liberates Ariel from Sycorax's enslavement, Ariel is the child who has chosen the father. Sycorax cannot be detached from the primitive mother. That's why he is considered as uncivilizable. Yes, this thing of darkness.
About Caliban. Which
yes. Is mine. He says it's mine.
My son.
Yes.
He's
he doesn't say he's my son. He belongs to my people. Yes.
And that Prospero loses his legitimate claim to some kind of power when he makes that decision.
And he gives up magic to some extent.
He gives up the magic. He gives up government.
Yes.
Before he goes to the throne.
Yes.
And in order to understand where Caliban fits into that, you have to acknowledge that for Caliban to say the island's mine.
Yes. You're raising a very important point, because here we come to ambiguities of the texts. One could think, in fact, that he is declaring, Caliban is my son. But at that time, he's trying to sort out the people. Say, Stefano Tricolo are not mine. They belong to your crew, your people. But this one, I recognize him as being mine. What can mean being mine is also an open question. We can have all sorts of fantasy about the relationship of Caliban to Prospero, I mean in terms of filiation or something alike. But I think that it is very important. I think that these are mysteries of creation which deserve a lot of thinking. And of course, if I give an overview, I cannot go into details as this one. Think again of the magic flute. Why is Monostatos kept by Zarastro? For what purpose? It is very difficult to answer such a question. That Monostatos belongs to the Queen of the Night, that makes some sense. But when he goes on the other side, why? Why? What is he doing in that? I think that the idea is, maybe it is probably an ideological one, it is the impossible to proceed to a total eradication, I would say of evil, but of that drive element. Monostatos is a raper, just as Caliban is a raper. I think it is not only the reference to the drive, but it is the reference to pure force. The force of the drive, the force of the appetite, which is limited by nothing. This is all I can say for the moment.
That same violence in the triangulation?
No, because in the triangulation, there is a recognition of the difference of the sexes and the difference of the generation. And the combination of these, of the awareness of these two differences, creates important changes in the structure of the mind. I will come again to what I said earlier. For me, the importance of the triangular relationship is not based on the fact that between the age of 2.5 or 3 to 5, the boy wants to sleep with his mother and to kill his father. These are anecdotes. This is not really what we're talking about in triangular relationship. The triangular relationship involves a lot of things: the difference of the sexes, the difference between generation, the relationship between desire and identification, the possibility of what Charles Sanders Peirce called thirdness. And among psychoanalytic circles, I very much question what is usually described in terms of early object relationship, in terms of dual relationship in which the Father has no existence. I think this is wrong. The Father is always somewhere. He's in the mother's mind. And if he isn't, poor child.